It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Reap Von Deep. He is promo code Ron Von D. All hail the king of ginger ale. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
It's been an interesting week, Rich. It's been a very, very interesting week for me. Yeah.
I bet it has. As a teacher of young minds of America.
Starting school tomorrow.
A lot of things are in flux right now.
A lot of things are in flux. Yeah. We are full go, though. I'm full in person, which is a rare thing.
That's going to be super rare. I feel like there's not too
many. It's super rare. We do have some international children who are doing online, so it is a bit of a blended learning situation. But for the rest of us, we're full stop, man. We're ready to go.
Well, good luck, my dude.
Yeah.
You got some good masks and face gear and all that stuff?
I have no less than 6 masks on me at all times.
Good. Good to have it.
I got one of those messenger bags that the independent school teachers have.
Nice.
You know what I mean? So I got like nicely. That. Yeah, the Timbuktu one. You know, that all the guys have. You know the one.
I know the one. I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
Yep.
So I don't know if that wasn't it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed, Ryan, but I shaved my head.
I did notice that. Look at you.
I look a little
bit. What was the thought process there? You just like got sick of it? You just.
Yeah. I was
hats
like.
Hats weren't fitting right?
Well, no. So I understand that I look a little bit like a silly asshole, but like I have a huge forehead. And I was just like. So since quarantine, or not quarantine, since COVID, basically, I've been cutting my own hair.
Same.
And I've been doing it where, like, I would, like, shave the side and leave it kind of floofy up top. Right. And it was, like, fine. And then the last one I did was, like, pretty bad. And basically, I wore a hat every day since then.
Okay.
And then so today, I'm like, fuck it. I've honestly never shaved my head. Even as a kid, I didn't shave my head.
No, this is the first time I've seen you with your hair this short.
So I was like, let's give it a shot. And like, I don't know if I'll do it again, but I actually don't hate it. And it's kind of growing on me.
No, and like, as you see, your hats will fit better.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. So that's a positive to come out of that. You know.
But what I really missed was like playing football. Like putting the helmet on over this would be nice.
That did help. That did help.
Anyway, Ryan, I want you to tell this story to the listener because it is crazy. And I don't even know all the details, so I'm fascinated myself. But your wife, aptly named Ryan Davey, who has been on the podcast multiple times, she had what could only be referred to as a very unique injury.
A gruesome injury. Now, the plot has thickened so far. So we were following up on it on Twitter. But what happened was... I found out, so I'll tell you the whole story. So I find out my older daughter, who's 6, comes running up the stairs and she's like, mommy hurt herself in the water. She hurt herself. Like she, like something about like the water, like boiling water or something. So I'm
oh shit.
So I run downstairs and Rye's holding her hand to her chest and she's crying. And I have seen this woman give birth naturally to 2 children. I have never seen her cry this much.
Wow.
So I'm thinking right now that she like spilled boiling water on her hand, that she's the third degree burns. We got to go to the, and I'm like, what happened? What happened? What happened? And through breaths, she told me she was cleaning. We have one of those, like a lot, you know, like lobster pots have like the colander, like you pull out.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So she you strain the lobster, you pull the thing out. So she was she made a ton of pasta for like a couple nights ago. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't she cleaned it, but it wasn't fully clean. So she was going to make mashed potatoes in it and saw that there was like some dried pasta inside the strainer. So she was cleaning down the side of it and a piece of dried spaghetti went into her thumb all the way down to like the white part. So it was like a bamboo shoot, like into her nail bed.
So like now. But underneath her nail, like that thin, thin part between her nail and like her skin, and it went all the way.
I saw the picture on Instagram. Yeah, it went all the way in. So, I do fine with blood. I do fine with vomit. Yeah. I've cleaned up my share of caca,
feces. Sure, no problem.
With between kids and a dog, I mean that's what you do, right? And cleaning litter boxes and stuff. But I like puckered. I was like, ugh! Like I just couldn't. I couldn't look at it, and then. We spent, so that was on Monday, and then Tuesday, gnarly. We tried to spend as much of it we could Tuesday trying to get it out.
But so what'd you try? What'd you try, like soaking it and then going like tweezers?
Yeah, so we tried tweezers first, and then it just kept breaking. Like you just pinch it and you try to pull it and it would break because it was so far in there.
Oh, so it's going like almost further down.
Yeah, so then we tried like soaking it in Epsom salt, and then I tried to take like a razor and just slit where the spaghetti was so I could just take it out. But you couldn't touch it. You couldn't get anywhere near it. It was awful, right?
So when you're not touching it, what was the level of pain?
She said at any given time, it was like a 5.
Okay.
But like when you touch it, it was like an 8. So like you could.
Yep.
So then it wound up getting infected. So then we had to go to the emergency room. The people in the emergency room tried like, you know, like with that like hot poker thing that they use to like cauterize stuff.
Yeah.
So they tried to split her nail with that. That wasn't happening.
I can't do it.
Then we had to go to a hand surgeon. And the hand surgeon, there was a part of the story I was going to tell too, but anyway, I forget. But the hand surgeon, I watched the whole thing too. It was awesome. He actually cut her nail in half and like ripped off like half of her nail. So that's how the story ended.
So half like the...
This way
or half like up and down?
He cut it down the long way.
Okay.
And like vertically.
Yeah, vertically.
And pulled it off. Yeah.
Oh.
So she's now missing half of a nail. So
oh.
But she jokes that now she's carb free, but it hurts. Apparently it hurts like hell. And again, I've seen this woman not cry giving childbirth, and she was then
what does she do now? It's just wrapped up, and then they said that the nail will like just grow back.
It'll grow back. And if there's any bit of spaghetti still in it, it'll grow out. It'll force its way out. But it was
gnarly, dude.
Yeah. And then in the emergency room, they didn't get her numb all the way. And she was anticipating all this pain. So they had to give her a shot of Ativan. They had to like
Jesus.
Oh, it was something, man. It was something.
All because of some dried pasta.
Dried pasta.
Crazy.
You're talking to someone who's been shot in the face with an arrow. Oh, so this is what I was going to tell you. So she called to get an appointment with, like, she wanted to call the emergency room versus going to urgent care. Like, which one would be better? Two places hung up on her because they thought she was fucking around. Like, they thought she was kidding, so they hung up.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's not an injury that you would typically hear about.
No, and she was in a bit of a state, so she wasn't really explaining it correctly. So the people are like, yeah, okay, and just, like, hung up on her.
Well, they probably get pranks all the time. They're just
You think of like urgent care, the stuff that they've seen. It's a toy car.
Yeah.
You don't tell. He already knows. That's too many people.
That's too many people. You don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So that was my week, man. That was my week leading up to the start of school. So that was something else.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what do you say we get to the news?
All right.
All right, we'll rip through this because we have a lot to get to here on the topic du jour. But we have a release date for season 2 of The Mandalorian. That'll be October 30th, so just around the corner.
Can't wait.
Looking forward to that very much. Yep. That's very good. Some bad news, Ryan, as it relates to The Batman, as Robert Pattinson has coronavirus.
And they've had
to put a pause on shooting the film.
Now they can... I'm told that they're shooting the stuff without him. So all the scenes that he's not in, they're shooting, but
I feel like he's a pretty important role.
Yeah. So, you know, the stuff with, you know, Commissioner Gordon and Oswald Cobblepot, we can shoot. Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. Cause we also heard the Rock had coronavirus recently. He announced that. And it's like, they've done such a good job in the NBA and the NHL, like bubbling these people off, testing them and getting the shit done and playing games and doing all this stuff. It's like, and then these movies, where like the Batman's had to stop. I don't know if The Rock was filming Black Adam or what he was doing when he got it or whatever. But it's like we can't figure this out.
Why can't we have movie bubbles? There should be movie bubbles, right?
Movie bubbles. Yep. Everybody just go to Universal and film your shot.
We'll rent you a house like within striking distance. Movie bubble.
Yes.
You know.
Please.
And you mean to tell me like how much is he worth? He like. I'm thinking of The Rock. Like, you can't send people to the grocery store for you. Like, you can't. I mean, granted, that you live your life, whatever. But, like, you can't send someone to be like, hey, pick up my groceries. I mean, I'd do that.
Yeah. Unless, you know.
Like, through, like, Peapod or whatever, you know. But, like.
Well, unless they have coronavirus.
He's dropping it off at your door.
I don't know how he got it. I don't either. But he did. His kid got it. His wife got it. The whole
thing.
Are you into the James Bond, Ryan? Because we had a trailer for No Time to Die, and I had no time for it.
It's one of those things where I do enjoy a good Bond movie. And I find good Bond movies are great. Like Casino Royale was awesome.
Yeah.
GoldenEye was great. I'm trying to think of like all the other like kitschy ones like Moonraker and stuff. Like I'll watch those every now and again. But an okay Bond movie, I got no time for that.
I've never really been into Bond. The only time I was okay with it is when they would have like marathons on, mm-hmm. and if you're like hungover on the weekend and it's on. That's like the only time for me. Like I don't seek out James Bond, but when it's, I've probably seen over half of them. I've probably seen most of the Sean Connery ones.
Right.
I think the Pierce Brosnan ones, and you're just like, it's fine.
I'm going to say this. So how many Bond movies are there? There's like
Jesus
20 something Bond movies?
Probably.
Five of them are good.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Like I enjoy the Mission Impossible movies more.
Yes.
I enjoy the Bourne movies more. Obviously the John Wick movies, I don't even know if they're comparable, but I'm just going to say that anyway. I enjoy most things more than James Bond, but
there are 26 James Bond movies.
Jesus.
Five are good.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to argue that. Ryan, great news this week. In fact, news that I thought I'd already known, but apparently it wasn't true then, but it is now. Tyler Perry is a billionaire.
How?
I don't know. Have you ever seen Madea Halloween?
I have.
Boo 2? Madea's...
But he's also like the producer on a lot of stuff because there's a lot of stuff that's like Tyler Perry's this.
Yeah,
and he's not in it, but it's like it's Tyler Perry's.
But he should be. But he should
be. Wasn't he? Yeah, whatever. But
he was in that.
He's Oprah's guy, right?
I think
he was a playwright. I think he's Oprah's guy.
Did pretty good.
There you go.
I'll tell you what. Pretty good. It's a quick news week round. Let's get to the next segment of the Porsche. The next segment of the program, which is becoming a very popular segment of the program. What do you say?
Oh, let's do it.
This is This Week in Horrible Rossi Takes.
All right, so the pop culture pile driver, of course, is Jason Rossi and Billy D.
Mm-hmm.
And they recently did an episode where they drafted Disney songs with Shine Time and Goo.
Yeah.
And so it was a draft. This time they actually adhered to real draft rules where once a selection is off the board, only one person can own that selection. So they did that. So that was they're learning. They're getting better.
Yes.
Now, they drafted a total of 20 Disney songs. Right? I think it was five per guy. All Disney movies.
Right.
All Disney movies. And I guess the only caveat was like a character has to sing it. It can't be like a song, like or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so in Jason Rossi's mind, one of the greatest Disney songs of all time and of all Disney songs is Whistle While You Work. It's not.
It's not. I get that there's subjectivity to this.
There isn't.
But there isn't. Isn't. You can be fundamentally wrong. And as he was Rossi wrong, and always
I knew he would be. I was just waiting for it. And then there it was.
You know, and again, for somebody who no longer works in radio, he certainly does talk about working in radio a lot.
He brings it up often. He spent some years in radio and brings that up. And you would think he'd have an ear for music, right? Because it wasn't all sports radio. It was also rock radio then. So you'd think he'd have an ear for it. He does not have an ear for it.
But I'm alluding to the story he told as to why he chose Whistle While You Work. And it was like a Walter Day story of having the hottest bod on the beach, like in Man versus Snake.
Yeah.
And it involved your buddy Dale Arnold. And it was the oddest thing I think I've ever heard.
Yeah. I don't know if that was even a true story or not. I was not a part of that conversation. Yeah. But
so he said that he likes that song because Dale was whistling and he walked by Dale's office and said, "Hey, are you whistling while you're working?" And then they did the thing.
Hmm.
I don't think that's a true story.
It's probably not. And I don't know what's worse, if it is true or if it's not true.
Either way,
that is This Week in Horrible Rossi Takes. Go check out that episode. I would say Shime 1.
Oh, Shime 1, far and away.
Clearly the best one. Like late, he's pulling like songs from Moana, like late rounds. Yeah. I was like, oh, you won. It's over.
Is Pop Culture Piledriver ever going to win one of their own drafts?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
What they're going to have to do is do a two-man draft. And by default, one of them will win. At least you chop. So then when you go back in the history, you're like, of all the drafts, here's like the win-loss, at least one of them will have a W.
So I don't know if you guys, you listeners out there have been following this, but Pop Culture Pile Driver is doing their fall sweeps, which involve they're doing drafts with all of us, and we're mixed pairs. So,
I'm on with Fryer, although we are having a real bear of a time getting a scheduling this thing.
And I'm on with Wes of Change My Mind, Wesley Sykes. So I'm not going to say what the topic is, but we do have varying topics. So good. It should be
good,
fun.
Good. Yeah. All right. Very good, Ryan. Let's get to the very next thing. Oh, Jesus Christ! All right, I'm a mess right now. I think it's the haircut.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute, even if it takes more than a minute.
A lot going on in the video game world, Ryan. What do you have going on right now?
Well, first and foremost, let's give a shout out to our sponsor, Wild Bill Soda. Recently I had a meeting with all of the other influencers and the Wild Bill's top brass themselves, and finally got to meet them. They're all awesome people. So make sure you go to wildbillsoda.com. There's a lot of cool things, by the way, coming down the pipe from Wild Bill's. I can't talk about it yet, but I will say now that I will be the first one. I will debut it to everybody. So I'm going to be at the cutting edge of this, at the razor's edge of Wild Bill. And it's no longer, Wild Bill Soda, as you know.
I bet if I was in the same room as you, I could get that information out.
I'd
tickle you.
You tickle me because I am very ticklish.
You're very ticklish. I'd pin you down and tickle you, and you'd tell me all the secrets.
There could be a time where if you wanted to order something from Wild Bill's, you might have to be of a certain age if you catch my drift. And I'm not talking about porno before you get it.
I was curious. I thought maybe it'd be Wild Bill's porno, but
no. So go to wildbillsoda.com. Use the promo code Ron Von D. Get yourself a little 10% off. If you look Ron behind me, there is a smorgasbord of things that you could. Order between soda, hot sauces, barbecue sauces. Get you some. WildBillSoda.com, promo code Ron Von D. Now, Richard, big week for us.
Huge.
So Marvel's Avengers came out, Square Enix joint. I have a lot to say about this, but I want to ask you first, are you having a wonderful time playing video games again?
I am loving video games right now. Ryan. Yeah. And obviously, not to make light of what's going on with your wife, but I've actually experienced thumb pain myself for the first time in a long time, because that's how many hours recently I've been playing video games. I was like, the other day, I'm like, my fucking thumb. I'm like, what is that for? I'm like, video games.
And I tell you, we're of course talking about Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, the remake.
Love it.
It is just as good as you remember it, and it looks amazing.
It's a little bit better, actually, because I know you're more of a grind and rails guy. I'm more of a vert in the pipe guy. And so for me to really maximize my points, the original Tony Hawk 1, you couldn't do the revert manual and keep going to add up points.
Yes.
So now I'm doing those classic maps with the way that I like to play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having the greatest time ever. So I've already 100%ed Tony Hawk 1.
Wow, you're ahead of me.
Every single thing in Tony Hawk 1 I've accomplished. And so now I want to go a little bit slower in Tony Hawk 2 and just kind of enjoy it a little bit more. Like, I was just like, I was obsessing over it. And I think we could do a whole episode on Tony Hawk.
We absolutely should.
I think there's enough there because we can talk about, like, what are the hard goals to achieve? What are all the different things to do? Like, I really think we could do an entire episode on the remastered version.
And just like a style breakdown. Like, you and I are like ebony and ivory with that thing, because we play two completely different ways and experience the game in the same way. Yep. I was reading an article. I forget who wrote it, but it was an editorial about how much they hate Downhill Jam. I never liked that level. And they said, but what's beautiful about it is that they didn't change anything. Like, they had an awful level design that they could have changed and made wider and better and, like, spread some things out. They didn't. They kept it the exact same way. It's still frustrating.
Getting the secret tape on that,
it sucks.
It took me a go. It took me a little while to get that hammered out. That's for sure.
And that's the other thing, too, that I'm having a real hard time with is remembering where everything is. I mean, that's the, it's been, 20 years? So yeah.
I'll fully admit it was on, I think... I forget which level it was. Is it one level I had to look up online because it said you had to get the gaps. There was three gaps you had to hit. And I got two of them. I'm like, where the fuck is the third one. And I was going nuts. I couldn't remember it. And I was doing it. And the thing was, I was doing it, but for it to count, you needed to grind. Like, you couldn't just jump off the thing.
Oh,
the other two were just gaps. Mm-hmm. The third one, you needed to hit the rail at the end. And I was like, I could have done this for years. So, and like, I'm like, you know what? No shame. I'm going to look it up. And that's an
idea. And I think part of me too is I get impatient and I start like clicking. When they go through the level, you like click through the videos and show them where everything is.
Yeah, because
like,
they do give you clues. But like this one was weird because the first two gaps, there was no grinding, no nothing. Like, you literally hop from one thing to the next and the thing would pop up like, oh, you hit the gap. And then the third one, you had to, for some reason, fucking grab a grind. I was like, all right.
Anyway. Whatever. But it's so much fun.
It's the best.
The controls are as precise and as like razor sharp as you remember. So you feel like it just looks better. It's the same game. It just looks better.
And dude, the soundtrack is like one of those things where it just takes you back immediately to where you were when you first played it.
How did you feel when you heard Power Man 5000 come on? Because that was kind of a surprise. I didn't think they were going to have that one on there.
I loved it so much. Because like the game starts and the credits and everything roll with Rage Against the Machine, which is one of my favorite songs ever. And then you get into like your Goldfinger and like some of the other ones that are just like classic, Real Big Fish. And you're like, this is me. And then all of a sudden, I'm like skating around. And then when
P-Man 5K
comes on, I'm like, greatest game ever.
So Marvel's Avengers came out. Now, I did a little bit of an experiment. And I think there's the people we talk to are torn with Marvel's Avengers. And I think the issue, I think it boils down to gameplay. And what I found, and I did this, you know, I had some Steam points. So what I did is I it's almost a different game. So I played it on PC and I played it on PlayStation. It's a completely different experience. The screen tearing, the frame rate drops on play. If you're playing on a standard PlayStation, it's just not, you're not going to have a good time. You're just not. And I honestly think that the game wasn't built for that. Mm-hmm. I think it was built for like a PS4 Pro or even next gen. So you get the free upgrade when you get the next gen console.
Interesting.
And I really think it was built for that.
Maybe because you're right. Yeah, because I didn't love the beta. I was like, no, it's fine.
And I found there's tweaks you can do. Like, you can turn off the motion blur. You can turn off the camera shake. You can bring back the combat camera a little bit. So it makes it a little bit better. But honestly, the story in the game is great. The campaign is awesome. I'm having a really good time with that and like leveling characters up and stuff. But the multiplayer, it's not as dynamic as I thought it would be. They're going to be introducing new characters, which is going to be awesome, and those are going to be free, obviously. So that's going to be interesting. That's going to keep the game going, especially into the
Spider-Man
new consoles.
Won't be on PC though, right? Only
no.
PlayStation?
So he'll only on PlayStation. But I'm guessing that they'll have other exclusives just for the other consoles. So, I mean, that's kind of the thing that's kind of keeping me going. But if you can play it on a PC, do that. Or if you have like a PlayStation Pro, it'll be a lot better. But I'm telling you, man, it's a completely different experience when you can ramp up the frame rate and all that stuff. So there's that. And there's the last bit of news, and then we'll get to the stuff. They took the vehicles out of Warzone now. There's a bunch of glitches that they have to fix. So now you're playing Warzone, you get to hoof it.
Oh, that's no good.
No,
like you get to have the cars. That's like the best part of the game.
I know, but now you get to hoof it.
Yeah, that stinks.
Just for the time being, and then they'll fix it. Yeah. But I guess there were some glitches that people were exploiting constantly with the cars. Hmm. Do you see those videos of the people like climbing trees with cars and just like calling people?
That's the problem.
Shit like that. Yeah. So they're fixing that. That's all the news that's fit to dance to. And again, check out our friends at WildBillSoda.com.
Check them out,
Ron Von D.
Ryan, you ready for the topic du jour?
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the topic of the day, and today it is The Boys season 2. Episodes 1, 2, and 3, because Amazon Prime decided to do something a little bit different. For season 1 of The Boys, they released all 8 episodes at once. I think they've also seen a lot of the other places, like Disney Plus, for example, with The Mandalorian. Right. It was a weekly show. So they're kind of splitting the difference here, and it's once again going to be 8 episodes. The first 3 came out this past Friday, and then you're going to get 1 a week for the next 5 to end it. Also, if you're just new to The Boys or you want a recap of The Boys, Davey and I reviewed season 1 back on episode 137. So wherever you listen to your podcast, or even if you're watching us right now on YouTube, you can go through the archive in 137 for the boys. But we will begin, as we do for all of our TV and movie reviews, Ryan, spoiler-free.
Sure.
For the first three episodes, mind you, of season two of The Boys, did you like it?
Oh, yes. I did. Yeah. It's just a good romp. It's just a fun show to watch.
I love it so much. I love it. And I was so high on the first season, and it's so many of the same characters, obviously, coming back. And it's just a great story. We'll get into like the comic a little bit and sort of like the similarities and differences of the comic, which I've not read all of, by the way, but I've read a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And it's just so good. It's just such a good story. It's entertaining. It's certainly
it's rich. It is rich storytelling.
It certainly is. What do you think first, though, of the way they are releasing this season?
I was not really on board with it. To start doing three episodes and then episodically, but I'm glad they did these three episodes because there was a lot of exposition. There's a lot of explanation that needs to take place in the first three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have been pissed if they did them one at a time.
You know what I mean? So too. I agree. And it's funny because like, depending on how you watch shows, like some really benefit from the binge watching, like,
mm-hmm.
Ozark is a classic case where you're like, here's Ozark and you want to watch all of these episodes like at once.
Right.
But if that was weekly, would you like the show as much? Like you might not. Yeah. Like if you really think about it, like you might not like it as much. Other shows kind of benefit from it. Like when I watched season one of The Boys, it was probably in 2 days. I watched all 8 episodes.
Right.
And that was kind of it. And so now you're going to have to a little bit more of a wait, but you're right. I think the way they kind of set this up, it was a good, and we'll see what happens. Right. Maybe we won't agree after episode 4. We'll be like, what the fuck's going on? Mm-hmm. But I thought it was good, and like they kind of worked well together. It was sort of like a long movie almost to sort of set you up for the rest of the season.
Right. And again, like I think if they had put episode 1 out just by itself, it would have been too slow. Same with episode 2, and then episode 3 kind of ramped up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So if they did those one at a time, I would have been like, oh, like get to it. Like, it's only 8 episodes. Yeah. Let's go. But you get to watch, like you said, it's basically a movie. It's a 3-hour movie.
Uh-huh.
So, and I did. I watched 2 and then 1. So it was it was great. It was great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also, so I gave it season 1 a 6. Davey gave it a 5 out of 6 the first time around. Now, it does end on an absolute cliffhanger.
It does.
And so you're waiting to see, all right, what's going to happen with this? And they give you some of it in like the teaser trailers and everything like leading up to the season. But you sort of get to see, all right, what's going on with Homelander and with Butcher and Butcher's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so you started to get some of that. As far as like any show though is concerned, like I think the characters are really strong. Like there are a lot of characters that you care about and are really compelling. And then on top of it, if you're looking for violence, there's a ton of it. If you're looking for comedy, there's a ton of it. Like it's everything. I think like for our demo and for what we do here, it is the absolute sweet spot of a show.
Oh, absolutely. And I for those who are, and I think we said this in the last time we talked about it too, who are weary of superheroes, it's kind of like an anti-superhero show. So if you don't, don't like superheroes, like this is kind of a show for you and you want to see them, you know, behave badly.
Yeah, and like one of the things we talked about in the season one recap of it was, it is definitely it's the perfect kind of comic booky story to tell right now because it is so oversaturated with comic book movies. Like every year, there's like 5 or 6 Marvel, 5 or 6 DC. Then there's always they're like hyping the next things. There's TV shows everywhere you go, and it's like all those characters, all the famous characters. They're just doing over and over and over again. Like, think about how many different Spider-Man and Batman and Superman that we've even had.
Right.
And so then this is doing something completely different where you're like, if they were really in the real world, they would probably, a lot of them would be assholes.
Oh, absolutely.
And they would also be monetized by big corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, all right, this is what we're doing. The comics are great. Now, I think it's 72 issues. Mm-hmm. I've probably read like, I think 36. And it's probably the best story that is done that for some reason I haven't finished. Like I usually go back, like you and I are kind of the same in this regard, like wait till the collect edition. And I don't know why I haven't finished it. It's like this and like 100 Bullets are like the two best things I've read that I haven't read all of it.
Well, Wonder Bullets is a little bit different because it's like a standalone story. Like the trade is like a standalone story.
This is like, so I don't know. So like in season one, there are certain things ripped directly from the comics. And then there are a lot of things that are just completely different.
Right.
And so far in this season, I feel like things are pretty different. Like this is sort of a spoiler, I guess, for the books. But as far, and I also have a pretty shitty memory of the books. I read them so long ago.
Right.
But like the whole idea of like Butcher's wife being alive, not the case in the books. Like she dies in the books.
Right.
And so her coming back, like, so that's already a change there. So like some of the stuff that they are doing is like kind of on their own, I guess. So like you can sort of enjoy both of them again. You know?
And Ennis is involved with the whole thing too. So I think it's just like, sometimes I like this where it's kind of a good exercise for an author to kind of get a fresh, like if something he would have changed in his writing, like given time, you know, I kind of like that he's involved and kind of like, changing it up a little bit, because we've seen that happen. Like it happens in The Walking Dead. It happens in, but like it happened in Preacher where they kind of changed some stuff to make it fit the medium a little bit better. And I think they did a pretty good job with that.
Yeah. Cause like the comic is more violent and it's like way more like sex. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like those two things. And I think for a standard TV show, this probably has more, certainly of the violence, but like compared to the book, it's different. Is it fair to even give a score for the first three episodes, or should we wait till the season's over?
I would do it by episode. So I would give the first two episodes a 4 and the last episode a 5.
Yep. That's fair. That's fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. So, it's not a 6 so far.
But not yet. Like,
I don't remember what I would have given the first three episodes of season one. So let's see where it goes. It's setting up in a pretty good way. I'm with you on that. The third episode was definitely the best of the three. What? Anything else non-spoiler you want to hit on before we get into spoilers?
Nope, I'm good there.
All right, spoilers for this. Let's start with the opening sequence, which was just awesome. And one of the things that I'm hoping that this season gets into more is the character of Black Noir.
Mm-hmm.
So he obviously is part of the Seven, and right now the Seven is like down to 5.
Right.
So you have Homelander, Queen Maeve, Black Noir, A-Train, and Starlight.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of the whole idea, or one of the main themes of this season, seems to be replacing Translucent.
Mm-hmm.
And then was it Lamplighter who walked away, and that's why they got Starlight? Oh, and the Deep.
And they got rid of the Deep too. So the Lamplighter,
Lamplighter left, right?
And then that's what brought in Starlight. And then they had
they had to kick the deep out,
and Translucent died.
And then Translucent. By the way, the funeral for Translucent,
it was ridiculous. So that was the most ridiculous thing.
He has the clear casket.
The clear casket. He's not even in it. Yeah.
Or was he though? I think he was.
The picture of like his mom holding up a baby that's just like in a suit, like a onesie, but there's no one in it.
Can't see him.
The song that Starlight sings is the most ridiculous thing.
Outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous. No, but the opening sequence anyway. My point is, I hope they really expand more on Black Noir. He was barely utilized in season one.
Right.
So far in this, you see him go against Nakeem. I think it was Nakeem, the guy who they basically plant over there to sort of prove that, hey, like we superheroes need to be a part of the military because take a look, there's super villains out there, or super terrorists, which is sort of one of the main issues that they're getting into. But he just like dismantles that guy, and like he gets blown, he's like, look, like gets blown up, he like looks at him, he's like, I'm good.
Yeah. And so it's a kind of a cool character that they don't, like you said, they don't really do much with him, which is a shame.
We don't remember anything about him.
Right.
We don't really know anything about him at this point. Now, one of the other great scenes was when they're trying to fill out the Seven, right? Mm-hmm. And so they go to Homelander, and like they have like the PR lady or whatever, and they're like, all right, like this is one of the guys that's gonna like try out for the team.
Blind spot,
who is like Daredevil.
Right.
Right, because every single character is either a ripoff of one or like a combination of two Marvel or DC characters. And so they show this guy, and he's like working out on his own. He's like throwing like knives and like all kinds of shit. And then he meets him, and he's like so excited to meet Homelander. And then Homelander's like, oh yeah, that's great. And then he fucking claps his ears and just leaves him in a bloody mess.
He said, how'd you know it was me? And he goes, we don't need eyes when you have super hearing. And he just fucking boxes the guy's ears and like caves his brain in.
He's like, now what?
Now what?
Now what do you do? Yeah. Now what do you do? That was great. So Blind Spot's not going to make the seven.
No. And I love that Homelander is kind of going off the rails. Like, he's kind of losing his mind.
Yeah.
With
obviously Stillwell's gone because of him.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And then so yeah, that's a big thing for him this season, is no more Stillwell. And
what, the scene with the milk?
Oh my god.
The scene with the milk and the freezer. He goes into her office that's being remodeled.
Drinking the rest of her breast
milk. He starts licking it first. The whole thing with the milk and the mommy thing with him is just so like that. I don't think that's part of the thing, the comics either, but it's just so weird.
Well, no,
it's so weird and uncomfortable.
Isn't Stillwell in the comics was a dude, I believe.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, that part wasn't in there. They added that in.
But then
now him with Butcher's wife Becca and their son.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interesting.
How about you just watch him just drink and the whole time he's drinking milk? It's weird.
How about when he's up there with the kid and he's like, "You can fly." He's like, "No," he's like, "I can't fly." And he's up on the roof and he just pushes him off the roof.
Just throws him off the roof. You're fine.
He's like a 20-foot drop. He's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, like that was, yeah, that the kid's knocked out. He's like, it's only 20 feet.
So one of the other superheroes that we meet, so Blind Spot's one, like that was one of the cool things about season one too, is like some of the random superheroes, and a lot of them were made just for the show,
right?
And they would kind of throw them at you. But another one was Gecko.
Yes.
And Starlight knows him from like their like Jesus
Capes
camp
for Christ.
Yeah. Capes for Christ. And he just basically lets people cut off his arms, legs, and dick for money.
Yeah.
That's what he does now.
He's like an S&M prostitute, which is it's just so off the wall. It's just so Garth Ennis that it's
yeah,
it's
that great. Is 100%.
That is a complete Garth Ennis character.
What do you think of Stormfront, who does join the seven? So she's at least the sixth member now.
So this is a character that's going to be interesting for me because clearly there's something going on, and I think. I say there's something going on because like she's not who she says she is. I mean, it's clearly or not her motivation is not to be part of the seven. It's not to you know, further the corporate message of Vought. It's to do something else. And there's gonna be a turn there.
There's some Nazi stuff going on here. Mm-hmm. Like maybe with the original, like how Compound V was formed or something. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, like she's a plant from somewhere else. Yeah.
But it's funny though when you look and like I follow the boys account on Twitter, so they're constantly like retweeting people talking about the season, but they make her out to be like way like more badass. Like people, I don't know, she didn't have the impression that I thought she was gonna have. I thought she was gonna be even more outlandish and even more over. She's not as over the top as I think the expectation was.
But I like how. She's funny. Like, so there's times where she kind of like calls into question what they're doing. And it's especially like under, like cutting, Homelander's legs out from under him. I like that.
Yeah.
And it has to be for a reason. I think it's, you know, to divide, you know, from within. I think there's like a coup happening right now and it's starting with her.
Yeah. No, that definitely could be.
Mm-hmm.
Rainer getting blown up was pretty crazy.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Like, I don't think anybody saw that coming. That was pretty cool.
Nope. That was
cool though. They never really explained how.
They didn't really explain that, did they?
It's just like her head just exploded.
Just like, no.
Okay.
Then she was done.
Yeah.
What did you think of the story arc for the Deep?
This is weird. This is the one thing I kind of didn't like.
Okay.
You know, I did. I don't know. I don't know where this is going. I don't know what the Fresca thing is all about. Is there something in the Fresca?
There's a lot of Frescas going on.
Yeah.
It is interesting though. So the Deep, well, his arc in the first season, like he gets thrown out of there, and then we've also seen him in different kind of situations, right? With ladies, there was the one that he was trying to jam her hands into his gills.
That was very uncomfortable.
He didn't like that.
I didn't care for that.
He didn't like that. So he gets tossed out. But it's sort of like the Aquaman, like always, like the jokes that people would make about Aquaman are like what they make about the Deep, right? Like, oh, he can talk to fish. Like, what is that? How are you helping us?
How are you helping? Yeah.
And like one of the best scenes from season one was the thing with him and the dolphin.
Oh, that was the best.
One of the absolute best scenes.
And then so he's getting like thrown out of the windshield and they like catch eyes. Awesome.
And then this one, you have the thing with the whale, which is great. The whale scene.
What was the whale's name? Lucy.
Yeah. And he's got like, he's standing up there, but like, he's got like his hands on his hips.
Right.
Like, they're going to turn around and they just go right through him.
I saw, so Huey's reaction to that, Jack Quaid, who plays Huey,
who is the Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan's son,
who he is like a he's like a mix up of like both people. It's
crazy
when you think about it. But him just sitting there inside the whale, just like completely shell shocked, like that's exactly, that would have been my exact response.
Yeah,
like,
there's an inside of a whale right now.
A fucking whale, dude.
Like, what is this?
Like, come on, we gotta go. I'm like, why? Like, what are we doing? You know,
that's the point.
Yeah,
but the deep is. And so he gets rescued, or he gets bailed out of jail by Eagle the Archer, who again is like the Hawkeye.
Right.
And he even made like a joke about, or not, but about like how he ran out of arrows one time. He's like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
And then so now you have Eagle the Archer kind of trying to rescue the deep. And then you enter, like, this woman comes in, and it's the Church of the Collective or whatever.
And who was that woman, played someone's creepy wife in a movie? And I can't remember.
Oh, I don't remember.
I gotta look it up.
I don't remember.
I'll bing it while you.
So then they, like, they're trying to tell him that this is the way to get back into the seven and everything else. Because at first he's not really believing it, and then so he's like, he does like mushrooms or whatever, and then he's in the room by himself, and then that's when Patton Oswalt voices his gills, and he's trying to explain to him. He's like, you're so afraid of people seeing your gills or whatever, than like that you take it out on them and all this other stuff.
Yeah, which that was a weird scene, but it was funny.
It was a weird scene.
Yeah, but Patton Oswalt could voice anything. But
yeah,
and it was great.
Did you find out who that lady was?
No, keep going. I'll figure it out eventually.
All right. So then, but then the deep does team up with the seven again, but they kind of dismiss him pretty quick. And so I don't know if he's going to have a great chance of getting back in with them right now.
No,
it doesn't really appear that way. Maybe he kind of takes on more of a role with Eagle the Archer and the Church of the Collective.
It's just such a shitty name, Eagle the Archer.
Uh-huh. it's not great.
Okay. Jessica Haight. She was in...
Jessica Haight.
I remember her from Dan in Real Life. I remember her in that. Yeah, I'll figure it out. But
well, that ain't it.
That ain't it.
So A-Train's back. A-Train, obviously, in season one, had some issues, almost died, but he comes back, and then he's sniffing all around Starlight, and he's trying to be like, hey, what's going on here with Starlight? Because Starlight and Huey are trying to.
I know who it is, and there I'm fucking watching behind me. It's Gretchen Schwartz from Breaking Bad.
Oh my God. It was literally right behind me.
It was literally right behind me the whole time as Breaking Bad's playing on my TV. It was Gretchen Schwartz.
Yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good IMDb. She got Breaking Bad and The Boys on there.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's not bad. So her character, I think, is going to have more this season.
Yeah, and they keep talking about who's the leader of the church. It's like, oh, it's coming straight from so-and-so.
Mm.
And I saw that's going to be that'll be a thing.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
What do you think of A-Train so far?
I don't like A-Train. And I think you're not supposed to like A-Train.
Obviously. No, probably. No, I don't think so.
No, but like, I never really, like, it's just like, it's kind of lame. Like, he's just kind of a lame character who's like, you know, whatever. This whole thing with a heart attack, like, die or don't die.
Yeah. Come on. Well, I did like the scene where Queen Maeve goes to her girlfriend in the hospital and they were like, they're just having their conversation and she's like, I'm sorry.
So
that scene was fine, and that sort of humanizes Maeve.
Yes.
The scene I was thinking about was actually with Starlight and Stormfront, and they were having a conversation. It was like after one of like the little like media sessions, right?
Yes.
And they were, the two of them were talking, and Stormfront was talking to her about Pippi Longstocking.
Yes.
And she's like, Pippi Longstocking would bite a D. She basically said, like, if they stick a D in your face, bite it off. Which I don't know if Stormfront knew exactly what happened to Starlight in the first season.
That begs the question, does she know?
Well, I mean, I guess she kind of does, because that's why the deep's not in there. Like, right, those they kind of, people probably did kind of know a little bit.
Yeah, that he was a little problematic. And if she, because remember in the graphic novel too, they have like this farm system. Right. So like there's the seven, and then they have like these.
So remember
there was a scene in one of the early comics.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a hotel, and they have all these like farm system superheroes in it. It's like a JV.
So there was a really big part of the early arc of the comic was called the Teenage Kicks.
Yes.
And it was essentially the Teen Titans.
Right. And it was like kind of like they said it was like a feeder system for the seven.
It was, yeah. And like there were, and they had a couple different teams like that. And there's more teams that they talk about in the comic. And Teenage Kicks was a big one. And remember Popclaw from the first season?
Yes. Yeah.
Who went out with A-Train. So her and A-Train didn't go out in the book, but in the TV show they did. But Popclaw's from that.
Right.
And they're all just like, yeah. So you can call people up from that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then the biggest thing I think too from the last episode anyway is the whole thing with the female's brother,
right?
And they're able to get in touch with him, but then they confront the seven, and then Stormfront ends up killing the brother, even though Homelander wanted to.
Very gruesome.
Yeah. And so she's gonna be
and racist.
She finally kind of that came out
and racist.
Yes.
Did not care for his ethnicity.
That's going to be a bigger problem going forward.
Yes.
Yeah. That's going to that's going to rear its head. That just sort of like kind of peaked out a little bit there, but there's
I will not repeat what she said because this is a family this is a family podcast.
Cuz she also you could tell like they at first they were kind of like, "Oh, are we supposed to like her cuz she's like defending Starlight a little bit?" And she's like doesn't really she's like, "Oh, this is like all this media stuff stupid." And she like gives Homelander shit and like we know from the first season that Homelander's a complete asshole
and she's very girl power.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
but then you're like, no. There's problems with her.
Oh, a lot of problems. Yep.
But female, I love female's such a good character, and I bet we get a little bit more from her too, especially like in response to what happened to her brother.
Well, it was interesting that too that you figure out that she can talk and she just doesn't. Mm-hmm. She developed her own sign language with her brother, so no one can talk with her. And what should Frenchie wanted to learn it, so he could talk to her. And
then, I like Frenchie too.
I do like Frenchie.
Like
Mother's Milk is actually really good. He's coming around. I'm coming around on him too. So
yeah, I like him.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all good. Like that's the thing about the show is like all the characters are either good or if you don't like them, I think you're like not supposed to like them and you want to see kind of what happens to them.
Right.
Like there's no character that you're like, ugh, like skip over. And I'm with you. Maybe like the Deep might be the closest to that.
Right.
But I'm still interested in like what this now little side story is going to be with this church.
Yeah, I would say the only character I don't really care about is A-Train. Like that, but that's it.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, because I think he had his moment in the first season and now he's just kind of like.
Yeah, he did.
You know.
Yeah. But really cool. And like a big story. And like if this is a movie, this would be like a major plot point is in the third episode. The public is finally made aware that superheroes are created and they're not born that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is serious, and like you wonder like where they're gonna go from here. And then all along you have Giancarlo Esposito, speaking of Breaking Bad, you have his character trying to like rule over everything and like make sure that they're still profitable and all this other stuff. So this is gonna be a huge problem for him and Vought International.
But like I think so they have to have known that so there's a whole plot line too where Huey's trying to get a sample of Compound V from Starlight out of Vought, and that's kind of his whole angle. Now, did they leak it on their own? I mean, that's kind of the thing. I mean, that would make sense that they could get out in front of it and kind of control the story that way. They had to have known that some was missing when Gecko stole it. So, I mean, they get out in front of it and they can kind of control the narrative. Would you see them kind of doing I forget Giancarlo Esposito's character's name.
Stan Edgar.
Edgar. So it's Edgar's, saying like, I didn't know anything about it. You know, I took over at some point, and this is someone that's still on Stillwell's team that was acting on their own and so on and so forth. So, and it's easy to bury it with her because she's already dead and she can't, whatever. So, So I'm interested to see where that goes because I'm guarantee you that bringing in Stormfront without consulting anybody.
Yeah.
Like has that something part. To do with that.
No, that's definitely true. So I think in the final five episodes anyway, what I'm looking for is obviously is going to be some sort of payoff, sort of the character of Stormfront. There's probably gonna be a Stormfront versus Homelander kind of thing, which you're gonna be like, am I really rooting for him or am I rooting for her? Like there's gonna be like that's gonna be pretty good, I think. And then also like Butcher and his wife, like does he end up finding her? And like that part was crazy too, because he gets there. He sees her for a second, and then he's gone. Homelander doesn't kill him only because Becca was like, please don't.
Yeah.
Like, don't kill him. But he like makes it disappear.
To mess with him and to keep him alive.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
That's better for him because he's a sick fuck. But
yeah. So and then like I said at the beginning, like I'm hoping that we get like a little bit more of Black Noir. And I think there was a scene where I don't know if you would have gotten this in season one, but when the news was coming out about how superheroes are created.
Yes.
There's a scene of him in the hallway, like sitting down watching it, like on the phone. And like the fact that they even showed you his response to that makes me kind of think that we get more of him later on.
Yeah, hopefully.
Otherwise, like if he was just a background character, I feel like they wouldn't throw you that.
Yeah, right.
So we'll see. Like there's enough going on. Like there's enough different stories going on. Plus Butcher getting back with Mallory or Grace Mallory, the leader or former CIA operative. Like,
right.
All that stuff, like everybody sort of got something going on right now. So I'm with you. Like, it's not like the first two episodes were the greatest episodes of TV of all time,
but there was a lot of buildup. It was a lot of,
it's headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it every Friday night when it comes out.
Hell yeah.
Anything else from this?
No, watch it. It's definitely worth a watch. I would say right now for me, it's probably the best show on TV right now.
Yeah. I think it's definitely the best.
I mean, by default, right?
But even last year, it was one of the best shows of 2019. Yeah. It's on the very, very, very short list of best shows.
Mm-hmm. And again, like, what else are you watching? What else are you watching? What else is going on?
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. Oh, this is interesting.
What's that?
What do you think? Michael says, Homelander's son, gonna be crazy, got some Brightburn vibes. Because it's true, because I thought, because Homelander was so convinced that his son was going to have powers. But I was like, if they just inject you with stuff, I was like, are you definitely going to pass that on?
Yeah, maybe. You know, I'm guessing he knew, or like they already knew.
Yeah, I don't know. But like he hadn't shown any of it, had he?
And no.
And so then when he like gets in front of his mom or whatever, his eyes turn red.
So
we know he has something. Yeah.
But it was funny because they had the deep talking about, he said, like, it didn't show up until I was eight. You know, yeah. I started hearing, he tells that story about walking through the pet store and hearing the fish begging for their lives. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So he did show at the end of season one. Thanks.
Yes. Yeah. So he does have something. We just don't know what. And maybe, you know, maybe that's who kills Homelander.
Yeah.
I know how it happens in the book. So I'm not going to say that for anybody, but
yeah.
It could be,
So that's good. So we'll see. So what we'll do is we won't do one after every single episode, but
no, we'll wait till the end.
When this show is done, which whatever it is, 5 weeks from now, we'll do an entire season two kind of breakdown on that. Let's see. That's it, Ryan?
Yeah, man, that's it.
Good there.
Watch it. Go watch it.
Go watch the program. You'll like the program. All right, here we go.
Pick of the bomb.
All right, Ryan, would you like to kick, receive, defer, or defend a goal?
I will punt kick, as they say in Tecmo Bowl.
Oh, you're going to punt kick?
Yeah,
oh.
As they say in the Tecmo Bowl. Punt kick.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
I'm going to throw out once again, it is a pretty good show. It's we mentioned it before. I don't know if it's going to be good enough for a standalone, but it's definitely kind of out there, and that's Lovecraft Country.
Is it getting better?
I've been keeping up with Lovecraft Country. The third episode was better, and I haven't watched the fourth episode yet. But I saw a review from Alan Sippenwall that says it's very Indiana Jones-like.
Well, I'm into that.
So I'm kind of interested in it. The second episode was kind of weird. It also felt like a season finale. And then season three, they did a little bit more of like a haunted house type of thing. And now four, which I have queued up ready to go, it sounds like it's going to be a little bit more action adventure type of thing.
Hey, we're just crossing genres all over the place. I love it.
It's HBO. It's kind of weird. It's kind of monsters. It's sci-fi type thing. So it's worth a go. Now The Boys is a better show. Don't get me wrong, but yeah. I'm going to stick it out with Lovecraft Country.
All right. You let me know how that goes.
Yeah.
So I got two things. One, I'm going to say first and foremost right now, you and I have been planning this for some time now. So tomorrow night, on my own Twitch stream.
Oh, yes.
Twitch.tv/ArvonD. Rich and I, for the second or third year in a row,
yeah,
we will be Twitching our fantasy football draft.
Can't wait.
I'm excited. We've done a lot of pre-drafts. So for you guys who are like sports fans and I kind of want to see how the sausage is made with the greatest drafter in the Gentleman's Club Fantasy Football League. I'm a good drafter.
You're a good drafter.
I'm a terrible trader.
Yeah.
I'm a terrible late season trader, and I give up on my team a little too early, but I'm a good drafter.
You're like so the opposite of Belichick. Belichick
Can
trade with the best of them, draft hit or miss. You're Bizarro Belichick.
I'm Bizarro Belichick. So we're gonna Twitch our fantasy football draft tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that is 8:30.
8:30. Yeah, we're gonna kick that off. And then there's a movie on Hulu, Rich, that I know you don't have. Wait, you have Disney Plus. So did you bundle it in?
I don't have Hulu. That's like the only
you didn't bundle in with Hulu?
No, I don't have Hulu.
There's a movie called The Binge, which is a take on The Purge.
All right. Well, I like The Purge.
So it's called The Binge. So basically, think of The Purge where they had all crime is legal for
24 hours, I think.
It's set in a time where drugs and alcohol are illegal except for one night, and it's called the Binge instead of the Binge and Purge. Get it?
I do.
And it stars.
Is it like is it one of these like Not Another Teen movies? Is it it's like a spoof?
No. And the reason I bring it up, and the reason I kind of want you to get a Hulu account, is it stars Vince Vaughn as the principal of the school, and he is full tilt Vince Vaughn. He's not he's back. Like he's true to form.
Great news.
Yeah.
Is this a new movie?
It's new. Yeah. Okay. It just came out. So, and it's a Hulu exclusive. So if you can find a way to watch
it, I bet he's great.
As a high school, Vince Vaughn as a high school principal is something you didn't know you needed in your life, but you do
need that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's the kid from, did you see the Vacation remake?
No.
So the kid who played the older brother in that.
Yeah.
He plays like the main character in it. And he plays such a good, like dweeby, like nebbish kids. It's great. It's not great. I would give it a 4.5.
All right. Yeah.
But it's definitely worth it. Definitely funny. It's not a good movie, but it's funny.
Okay, cool.
One of those. All right. So check that out. The Binge.
I like that very much. Mm-hmm. You can rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or just about anywhere else podcasts are available. Tell a friend, tell a dork. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dork Podcast. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel. We stream these episodes on Monday nights. Go to youtube.com/dorkpodcast. Davey's Twitch channel, twitch.tv/rvond.
Yep.
And head over if you're on Facebook, if you're still on Facebook, or maybe your grandparents are on Facebook. You go over there. The hashtag Dork Shared Gooniverse, where you can see the latest from us, from Mac and Goo, from the Pop Culture Pile Driver, the Change My Mind Pod, Twitch affiliates, Shime Time, Arvon D, and Dr. Joe, the Backcracker. So check out all those guys over there. Next week, I got a couple of ideas, Ryan.
We'll figure it out.
We'll let you know. We'll tweet out what the episode's going to be next week, but we've got a few ideas out there. Let us know what you thought of The Boys, at least through the first three episodes. Email us dorkpodcast@gmail.com or just send us a tweet what you thought of The Boys' first three episodes. That'll do it for this week. Thanks for listening. Ryan, what do they say about wombats?
Square buttholes, baby.